Okay, we have power. We are going to have a catechism lesson. We'll say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Pius X, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, we're starting a chapter on another chapter on purgatory. Last week we had one on purgatory, this week another one. So, just in advance of the month of November, in which it's the month of the Holy Souls. And this one is on the souls in purgatory, chapter 79. And you see the picture if you have your own book. By the way, the books are available now in the bookstore. We have the My Catholic Faith book, so you can fetch one after the lesson if you want. If you don't have one and you think it's a good idea to get one like I do, then there they are. The picture, we see God the Father with his hands raised up and God the Son on the crucifix, which is on an altar, on the tabernacle of an altar, and below the crucifix, the priest offering the host. He's actually raising it up at the elevation of the host. And then on the left and right above, you see saints in heaven. And the left and right below, on the level of the Mass, you see this people, the members of the church on earth. And then you see below the altar, the members of the church in purgatory. So this picture shows the three segments of the Roman Catholic Church. You have the church triumphant in heaven, the church militant on the earth, and the church suffering in purgatory. And so we see the caption underneath says, "We should be generous in helping the poor souls in purgatory who long for God. The best thing we can do for them is to have masses offered for them. The church puts no limit to the time during which we may pray or offer masses for the suffering souls in purgatory. We can always pray for them. We can always offer a mass for them. There's no limits on that. If we cannot have a mass said, we should at least hear masses for our departed. You can go to mass and offer your attendance at mass for someone who has died. Like, for example, Stella Rail, who died this morning. Please remember her in your prayers. If God so willed, a single Mass could release all the souls in purgatory. We should offer Masses, especially on All Souls Day, on the anniversary of the death of our relatives and friends. Whether we have the priest offer, give the priest a stipend and ask him to offer the Mass for our dead relative, or whether we just assist at Mass and pray for them and offer our assistance at Mass. One way or the other. Those are the best ways to help them. Okay. It's also a good idea to remember your deceased relatives and friends and so on in your night prayers when you're going to bed. A little prayer for the souls in purgatory, and particularly those that were somehow connected with you. Okay, the first question in the chapter is, what pains do the souls in purgatory suffer? Answer, the souls in purgatory suffer from a great longing to be united to God, and from other great pains. They're going to describe the other pains later. The great pains. The first and biggest is that they are longing to go to God, and they are not able to go, because they still need to be purged of the remnants of their sins. The chief pain is the deprivation of the beatific vision, the vision of God in the glory of heaven. This temporary deprivation is a most severe punishment because the poor souls already have full knowledge of what they are missing. On the earth, we don't know that. We don't understand just what we're missing by not being in heaven right now. That's why it's a good idea to ask God to take you to heaven. That's what the children of Fatima, when they saw a vision of hell, Our Lady Fatima showed them a vision of hell, and they saw the souls helplessly suffering in hell. And they asked immediately at the end of the vision the Virgin Mary to take them to heaven. And they really meant that they wanted to go right away. And that's not a bad idea. If we could all die right now and go to heaven, well, that'd be fine, right? We could just leave this place behind and go, right? Of course, we have to leave it up to God to decide when we're dying. We can't, you know, take our life or decide when we're going to die. God has to decide. He's the master of life, and he leaves us here until he's ready to take us, right? So this temporary punishment is very severe. Reason is because they already know what they're missing, whereas we hardly know it, right? As the heart panteth after the fountains of water, so my soul panteth after thee, O my God. My soul hath thirsted after the strong living God. When shall I come and appear before the face of God? That's Psalm number 41, and it's basically the psalm of the souls in purgatory waiting to get to heaven. And it's also an image of that is found in many of the black vestments that are used for the burial mass. On the black vestments, often you see two hearts, which are basically not heart hearts like in your chest, but the animal that is like a kind of a deer with antlers. And it's one thirsting for water, and you see the hearts kind of just reaching out their necks to taste some water, right? And when you see them doing that, you remember the souls in purgatory are thirsting very, very strongly for to see the face of God in heaven. The general tradition of the church is that they also suffer acutely in other ways. They're going to give you some of these other ways. St. Augustine believes that the sufferings of the poor souls are greater than the sufferings of all the martyrs, the pains of dying for the faith. You know? St. Thomas believes the least pain there is greater than the greatest pain on earth. The greatness of the duration of the and the duration of the soul's sufferings in purgatory vary according to the gravity of the sins committed. One who has lived a long life of sin, but saved from hell only by a deathbed repentance, will stay in the purging fires of purgatory longer and suffer there more intensely than a child who has committed only the venial sins of an ordinary child. That some souls stay long in purgatory is implied by the fact that the church puts no limit to the offering of masses for the dead. Some foundations have been going on for centuries, offered for the repose of certain souls. St. Augustine believes that those stay the longest in purgatory who have loved the goods of the earth more. Some saints have held that certain holy souls in purgatory suffer no pain except their exclusion from the vision of God. Practically, all are agreed that in purgatory, the souls suffer most in those things in which they sinned the most. As the Imitation of Christ says, in what things a man hath most sinned, in those things shall he be most grievously tormented. So, if certain kind of sins, you find a certain particular punishment that corresponds to the kind of sin that was done. Right? The poor souls, however, have much to console them. Even though they suffer, they have certain many things to console. What? They are certain of salvation. They know that as soon as it's over, they're going straight to heaven. Right? They don't know how long that's going to be, necessarily, but they do know that it will end, and at the end, they will go to heaven. That's a consolation to them. Right? And also they are certain of God's love and that they love God. They are certain of those two things, and that's very consoling, strengthening to them. They are free from temptation. When they're in purgatory, there's no more tendency to commit any more sins, right? That's over. Now down here we have the tendency, we have the temptations, but in purgatory they're safe from that, and that's a great consolation. And they cannot commit even the slightest sin, even a sin of impatience they won't commit. Even though they suffer greatly, they still will not be impatient with their sufferings. They're a good example to us down here, get impatient on little things. Right? They have no worry, anxiety, or distress of mind, for they are sure of deliverance. They are comforted by the prayers of the angels and the saints and the people on earth. Okay, so those things will console them. Next question, which is also the there's three questions. This is the second question. Will all the souls in purgatory go to heaven? Answer: all the souls in purgatory will go to heaven someday. They will stay in purgatory only as long as they have not atoned for all their sins. So when they're finished atoning for all their sins, then they're delivered. The poor souls cannot help themselves, for their time of meriting was ended at their death. We cannot merit anything after we die. Now is the time to gain merits. Right? They cannot therefore merit anything to satisfy for their sins. This is why we who can still merit by our good works should give them some of them, our good works, as suffrage for the poor souls, so that they may soon be delivered from their prison. We have the special obligation of helping with our prayers and sacrifices the souls of our dead relatives, friends, and benefactors. Of course, you know, if you do help somebody out of purgatory faster, they will remember what you did for them. And when they get to heaven, well, they will pray for you, right? And we'll have help coming from heaven and things you don't even know about and things you didn't expect, other things you perhaps will notice. A big help from someone in the next, in the other world. Right? Although they cannot merit anything for themselves, the poor souls intercede for us with their prayers to God. The merits that they did achieve before they died, they cannot apply to themselves, but they can apply to you and me, and so they can help us by praying for us, and we ask them to pray for us. The souls in purgatory can help us. Thus, if we help them, and they repay us by their intercession, no one who has a devotion to the holy souls in purgatory has ever asked for their intercession in vain. They always receive help when they ask if you are devoted to the souls in purgatory. Okay. The last question. In what ways can we help the poor souls in purgatory? They've already told us about masses. We can help the poor souls in purgatory by masses, by prayers, and by other good works. First, masses. The holy sacrifice is the greatest help we can offer because its effect depends on itself and not on the piety of the priest who offers it. And Jesus is the priest behind every Mass, and so he is the one who makes it effective, and he can give it a great effect. Whatever possible, Gregorian Masses should be offered whenever possible. These consist of 30 Masses celebrated on consecutive days for some deceased person. Gregorian Masses. Don't ask me to do Gregorian Masses because it's too difficult for me. A priest in a monastery has a little bit easier time to do it. A secular priest like myself, I'm out doing a funeral here, a marriage there, and I have to offer the Mass for some other intention. If I have 30 days in a row when I can't do that, and then somebody dies or I have a funeral or I have a marriage or something, what do I do? Tell a couple, look, you know, I'm not going to offer your marriage Mass for you. I have to do it for somebody. I say, I can't do it that way. And if I had someone else at the same time, another priest that I could trade with, the other priest would trade my intention maybe, but that still isn't very proper. So a monastery priest who is not doing service to the faithful directly like the secular priest has to, he can do it a little easier. So Gregorian Masses, 30 Masses, 30 days in a row. If we cannot have a Mass said, we should at least hear Mass for our departed. A Mass has infinite merit, for it is the sacrifice of our Lord himself. It will surely avail our dead to offer for them God, the Son himself, in the Holy Mass. Prayers. We should pray with devotion for the poor souls. God does not regard the length of the prayer or the words so much as the love in the heart of the one who prays. So a great love for God and also care for that soul that you're praying for. There are special prayers enriched with indulgences applicable to the souls in purgatory. We should also receive the sacraments of penance and Holy Eucharist for the poor souls. Know ye that the Lord will hear your prayers if you continue in perseverance. So praying for the souls and offering our communions and so on. The indulgence prayers, there are indulgent prayers that have an indulgence attached to them, and you can apply that indulgence to a soul in purgatory. Almsgiving, another way to expiate the sins of the dead, to give alms. Right? No pompous funeral or profusion of flowers is of any avail for the poor souls in purgatory. As St. John Chrysostom says, not by weeping but by prayer and almsgiving are the dead relieved. So the Because when they speak about no funeral, they're not talking about the Mass itself. The Mass has plenty of power for them, but the pomps that you add to the funeral, let's say you have all kinds of special things done at the funeral that are not bearing directly on the relieving that soul, then it's not going to help. But weeping and prayer and almsgiving, those three, weeping and prayer and almsgiving, they are relieving the dead. It is better to give to charity the money spent on idle and worldly show, which cannot help the poor souls, instead of sending costly wreaths to the family of the dead friend. It is an excellent custom instead to have masses offered for his soul. A heroic act. By this act, a person surrenders, in behalf of the souls in purgatory, all the satisfaction made to God by his good works, including whatever satisfaction may be offered for him by others during his life and after. A heroic act is enriched with precious favors. One who makes an act, the act can apply every indulgence gained to the poor souls in purgatory. He may gain a plenary indulgence applicable only to the poor souls. Each time he receives Holy Communion, every Monday by hearing Mass on behalf of the poor souls, to gain these indulgences, he must pray in church for the Pope's intentions. So those are the conditions, the usual conditions for gaining an indulgence, are to do that thing which is indulgence with the intention of gaining the indulgence, and to pray for the Pope, and also finally to receive communion and confession within 8 days before or after the day on which you gain the indulgence. So, it is an error to suppose that one who gives up his merits or offers prayers and good works for the poor souls thereby loses something for himself, because he's going to give something away, but he's also gaining more than what he gave away. And this holy souls will never let you down as far as their generosity in return for what you do for them. Prayer confers a blessing not only on those prayed for, but also on him who prays. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So you're not going to just, by giving your prayers to someone in purgatory, don't worry, you're not losing a thing, you're gaining, right? We should not, however, rely too much on the prayers and sacrifices that our relatives may offer for us after death. Even granting that they will remember us often and fervently in prayers, it is nevertheless true that works offered in suffrage for souls avail them only to a limited extent. God gives more value to a little voluntary penance done here on earth than to disciplines offered for that soul after death. As a saint aptly said, one mass devoutly heard during life is worth more than a great sum left for the celebration of 100 masses after death. So in other words, look out for your own soul while you're still here. And it's a lot more precious than all the work anyone else can do after you're dead. So any questions on that particular chapter on the souls?
Could we spend a few moments explaining the change in indulgences from Vatican II, please?
Okay, what I know about the indulgences, After Vatican II, there were rules. The church can make her own rules on indulgences. Indulgences are a giving out of the church's treasury of merits. They give them to a particular person, right? And that indulgence is especially for the relief of the punishments still due to sins, and for those in purgatory, or also for someone on earth, right? And we have two kinds of indulgences. You have partial indulgences and plenary indulgence, which is a full indulgence. In other words, it takes away all of the punishments still due to sin. Now, the partial indulgence is good, plenary indulgence is full. To make a plenary indulgence really plenary, we have to meet conditions which are a little more stringent than for a partial indulgence, and that is that we make an act of perfect love for God, and I think the battery's getting low. Anyway, make an act of perfect love for God, and to swear off for ourselves, for now on, all sin. I will not sin at all the rest of my life, not even venial sins. And if you make that act of renunciation of sin, and you do the work and so on, then the plenary indulgence really is plenary. And it can be given to a soul in purgatory. Now, the new rules that he was asking about, the old rule was you could gain a plenary indulgence whenever you want to. The new rule requires that you cannot receive plenary indulgence more than one time in each day. And, of course, that's kind of putting limits on what a good person can do. and it wasn't a good idea. They tried to justify this change by saying that people should appreciate much more than they used to what an indulgence really means. And that could be done much easier by having it taught in catechism lessons like this one than by saying you can't have as many as you used to have. Because what happens is the ones who were gaining indulgences now are limited to one a day. Right? The ones who weren't gaining indulgences are still not gaining indulgences. Right? So that's what the right answer would not be to limit the plenary indulgences, but rather to teach people to gain them so that more people would do it. Right? That way people would appreciate it more. However, someone who had been gaining indulgences for souls in purgatory may appreciate them more. It's like when the well goes dry, everybody is appreciating water much more than they used to. Right? When they only get 1 gallon of milk from the milk cow, used to get 3.5 gallons, you know. And they say, ooh, we like milk very much now, you know. So, yes, in a way it did work, but it also was counterproductive in another way. So, any other questions about the purgatory and the sufferings in purgatory? Okay, we'll go ahead and do some confessions after this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We give thee thanks, Almighty God, for all thy benefits, who livest and reignest forever. And may the souls of the faithful departed to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et magnat semper.